And good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. It is time for Tech Talk as we get techie with it here. We have Charles and Charles, and we have Charles Mullins. Dude, how you doing there, guy?
Doing well.
We got Charles Miller there on the telephono. How are you?
Doing better. I was still a little rough last night, but I'm still kind of homebound here. But it's good to talk to you guys this morning.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. I'm glad you're doing better.
Yeah, just don't eat tainted food. That's what it was.
Yeah, it's not good for you. Well, you got this wife that cooks all this healthy stuff, so what happened?
Oh, we just were in a kind of a hurry to get stuff done and just ate something that just didn't feel good with me.
Uh-huh. How many times have I told you never get takeout from Art's House of Tomaine, especially the chicken, especially the chicken in a casket? It's not good.
That's exactly right. Yeah, but it's nothing contagious. I just hope that it goes away. But anyways, I was going to tell you this morning, we were talking about some technology yesterday with one of my customers, and just kind of going to jump in here just for a quick moment this morning. And anyway, we're talking about all these updates. There's something that's happening with updates where if you're experiencing microphone issues on your iPhones, you need to force boot your phone. You can Google that to see what force booting is, and it'll tell you with your model how to do that. But you need to do that because it shuts the mic off for some reason, and if you don't have the phone rebooted or completely shut down and rebooted, it will not accept the microphone. So people are experiencing this, and they're coming in with nobody being able to talk. So anyways, I force booted a lot of phones yesterday, and everybody's mics are coming back on, so just be sure and do that.
Mm-hmm. So is this due to an update, or what happened?
It's something to do with the software, and they have a glitch in the software. They did a fix for it, but if you don't force boot your phone, that fix doesn't apply.
Right.
The program's still running.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to shut it down. So if you're experiencing microphone or ear speaker problems, just be sure and force boot your phone.
Mm-hmm. Good advice. Well, thanks for the tip.
Yes, sir. You have a wonderful morning.
You do the same.
Get well.
Yes. Bye-bye, guys.
Take care. All right. First of all, watch out for your cell phone microphone turning off. And second, don't eat what AE ate.
That's right. Yeah, we learned two things already. Here in less than 3 minutes.
Wow. So what else is going on out there, Charles?
I got me a new phone.
I saw that. Boy, that is really good looking. It's very thin.
It's pretty, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, this is a OnePlus 8. And what it is, it's by Nord, which it's got to be one of those Scandinavian countries. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but anyway, the phone, I it was Amazon Prime Week. You know, we started off with, Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing I was kind of priming up for. Was getting a new phone. And so I've been studying different models, and I almost bought the Google Pixel, because the Google Pixel's nice, but it's kind of expensive. And the 4A, all of a sudden, it came half price, you know, because apparently they're trying to move those. But then when I came across all the specs, and I compared it to this OnePlus 8, this thing beat it hands down across all the all the different things.
And you didn't pay the hefty price either.
No, it was 50% off.
Wow.
So it's the first 5G phone I've had, because, you know, I've been thinking this is the year I'm going to get a 5G phone, because like the internet service, it's as good if not better than a lot of home internet connections.
Yeah.
So it, like, I was testing it just now, and it gets about 40 some meg download and about 5 or 6 up, which is, you know, like a conventional home connection. So that's, you can't beat that. That's pretty good.
It's got a stylish, green type of
it does.
Color on. It looks like if they had cell phones back in the day when Miami Vice was on the air, they'd be carrying these. I mean, it's a cool color.
It is a cool color.
It
almost kind of reminds me of, like, pearlescence. You know, when pearlescence came out on cars.
You bet, yeah.
Those were pretty.
They were
pretty. And you'd look at it from different angles, and it gives you kind of this neat little effect, which is what this does.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
you can't lose that one.
No, I picked it up at the T-Mobile store about when was it? I've had it about 24 hours now.
Oh, I gotcha.
So, I did all the migration, and it had a nice little program called OnePlus Switch. So you hook them up, you set them right next to the old phone, mm-hmm. and it basically just transfers things directly between phones.
Like the Vulcan mind meld.
Very simple. They were very close proximity, but they weren't touching. So anyway, I did all the migration because I had probably, maybe 13 gigabytes worth of stuff that I was moving, and did it real well. Probably wow. took about 20, 30 minutes to move all my apps mm-hmm. and my data, and then started the process of getting hooked back up. Because anybody who's changed computers or, mm-hmm. or phones, they know there's still work to be done. Just because you're moving to a new environment, you still have to, all your logins, all mm-hmm. your security, and all your settings now. A lot of them do transfer over, but the security stuff does not. You know, it's part of their security measure. It's got to be, you know.
It stays.
So you basically have to log back in, and hopefully you remember all your passwords, because I limited mine. I think I have about, let's see, how many screens do I have? From my home screen, I've got 15 icons on each one. So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 7 screens times 15.
Yeah, you got a bunch.
So I got like 100 apps on this phone. You know, that's just the ones that I'm using. And there's more built-in ones that don't show.
Yeah, yeah.
But these are the ones that I actually use. I can't believe I use that many, but you know.
Oh, I do.
Well, so I've had fun. I had fun exploring this new phone. So now I've got to turn on some of those little nuance features like I was used to having the fingerprint option.
Mm-hmm, with your,
you know, the biometric. Mm-hmm. So now you can use your finger. And I think this one likes using your thumb, you know, for the fingerprint, because
we type with our thumbs.
Yeah, we do now. So it lets you basically just log in that way. So now mm-hmm. when you turn it on, you know, it and it has the face lock feature too. So, mm-hmm. so anyway, I'm going to explore those kind of things. But right now I'm pretty impressed. It is so zippy. And it's the new generation of phones has this 90 or 120 gigahertz response, you know, so the screens are so smooth. You know, when you scroll, the video is so smooth, and it just has a nice feel to it, you know, because it's so smooth.
Good.
Yeah, it's like putting new shocks on your car, you know, all of a sudden you don't notice those little bumps anymore. It works good.
You got a great deal of functionality without carrying around something the size of a brick.
Yeah, that's true. It isn't real big. It's uh-huh. actually it's about the same size as my old one, because uh-huh. I basically have made my shift from the LG, because we talked to a caller here a week or so ago mm-hmm. about the LG phone, which is basically being discontinued. You know, they announced a Stylo 7, but it never came out. So Stylo 6 is probably going to be it. They may bring in the other one. I'm not sure, but it's hard to get excited about a phone that you know they're getting out of the business.
Yeah, that's not a real good selling point.
No, probably not good marketing strategy. But you know, I guess you got to do what you got to do.
Got to get rid of it.
Yeah. So the more I get to explore this thing, because it's got a probably twice the fastest processors I had in my Stylo phone. It's got like 8 gigabits of RAM compared to my 4, and it's got the 128 gig internal storage, so I can put a lot of stuff in there, and I just like the way it feels. It's good. So now I'm holding it very gently because I don't have a case yet.
There you go.
And those cases are kind of important, because you know it's amazing how these things will take a tumble once in a while, so you do have to protect these things.
And four is, you know, they don't look like they're very big. The cases, they don't look like they're going to do much, but they really do take the shock pretty well.
They do. And they're really building that in. It's not just a protective case. It has little mounts in the corners so that it does absorb shock.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a good thing. And then they put this super hard acrylic glass on there that really makes it even more sturdy.
You don't look like the college kids walking around with all that cracked screen stuff going on there. There you go. Hey, Charles, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with more Tech Talk after this one-minute timeout.
The Maple Street Meat Market in Coffeeville sells everything from the to the tutor.
From the rooter 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 to the tutor.
No matter how you say it, one thing still remains. They have the best steaks in the tri-state area, voted on by their loyal customers. And if you aren't one, maybe you should be. Find them fast in names and numbers. That's the Maple Street Meat Market in Coffeyville.
Hi, I'm Todd Starnes, host of The Todd Starnes Show. I hope you join me weekdays at 1 o'clock right here on K1, the one you trust, at AM 1400 and FM 93.3. Tune in for an honest conversation and, of course, my commentaries on the events of the world around us. Fresh, honest, and unafraid, it's The Todd Starnes Show with me, Todd Starnes. Weekdays at 1 on K1, the one you trust.
Good morning. Welcome back to Tech Talk. And, of course, you can always get on the air with Charles Mall with the toll-free number, 1-800-749-5936. Charles has been telling us about his new phone, but there's a whole lot of other things going on today, too. But that phone sure looks good.
It's
Nord,
pretty.
N-O-R-D. I've never heard of it, but, boy, I think I should.
It's kind of like those new cars that have those paint jobs that look like porcelain.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen those?
Oh, yeah. It's like, hey, how'd you get it? Wow.
Yeah, they really stick out, don't they?
Well, they do. Yeah.
It's amazing how they, the appearances just evolves, makes everything else look old now. Yeah, is that the way it goes?
So the man holding a 24-hour phone.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm clutching onto this thing, just making sure it doesn't drop since I don't have a case for it yet. And so, but it's been fun. It took quite a while. I mean, I probably have got 10 hours spent on this phone in the last day or so since I've got it. So it took a while. Mm-hmm. Moving everything was the easy part. Getting situated back, operating like you were before is one that takes, and especially if you tweak on it very much, because I've had, I've migrated phone to phone now. It's probably an annual event for me now. But this one, I think I'm going to hold on to this one for a while.
Yeah, you should.
I like this one. So, yeah, they have a pro version of this one that I'm looking at that has twice the memory. It's got more storage and, it's got faster processor yet. So everything just kind of keeps evolving so quickly. But, I kind of get excited about these little tech gadgets like this. So it'll settle into my routine now, so it'll just be part of my tool set.
What's going on, my friend?
Well, I had a strange problem. I was working on a network, which now some of your techie people would be interested in hearing why this is such an odd thing. I had an environment where I had it's a business that has a VPN connection going to their instead of web-based, it's a VPN. And they had this router in there that I didn't have any control over. And that's kind of the pits when you don't have any control over the device that's controlling your network. So they set up another one for their Wi-Fi and their internal operations. So now we've got two networks. Well, I've got a backup machine running on the network that uses the oddball router.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I plug it in, it worked fine for probably 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
3 months, but now it just shuts itself. The connectivity just shuts itself off.
Wow.
So I thought this was an odd thing, because usually when you hook up to a network, you get an address. Your IP address is like your street address. It's where I can find you. Well, this device basically would not get one. So I said, well, it can't pick up an address. I'll put a static one in there. Static is when you physically put it in yourself. It doesn't automatically get it from your DHCP, which is how you dole out the IP addresses on your network. So I did that, and it connected for maybe a minute and shuts itself off again. Mm-hmm. So there's some kind of a firewall issue, or there's something on that router that basically doesn't like something, and it just cuts off the communication. It says, nope, we can't talk.
Wow.
So that's kind of rude. So basically, I'm still in the middle of troubleshooting that one, but I think I've got a solution. But it just took a while. You run into odd problems like that every once in a while that just not your everyday thing. But what irks me is not having control over the device itself, and why was it set up this way, and how does it, what's the story on this thing? Because, you know, it had all kinds of ports blocked, like 4,000, and that's what your printers talk on. So I said, why would you do that? You know, you have to have printers.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it was detective work. So I just had to do detective work. So that's the kind of stuff that I get involved in. It's when, you know, it's kind of a showstopper, so you have to do something.
Well, when the rest of us are looking for the bigger hammer just to smash the darn thing, you're out there trying to exorcise the demons.
Yeah.
So, boy, goodness. You have more patience than most.
Well, it takes a lot of patience. That's exactly right, because it's just not obvious. And then when you get into the networking side, there's so much invisible stuff, you know, when you're connecting to any network, whether it's the internet or your local network. There's things going on there that you're kind of isolated from. And that's why I'm trying to do is create a visibility into those environments so that it makes troubleshooting more natural. So I can say, okay, why was this not going here or there kind of thing, and break it down so that you have a nice little picture on describing what the scenario is. Because I when I go to work, I like to describe what the issues are, you know, so people kind of get involved and they'll get some kind of an inkling as to what they can do to troubleshoot those kind of scenarios.
Now, when you're going through these, 9 times out of 10, were they self-inflicted, you know, like human error, that somebody maybe thought they had a great idea to shortcut something, and then next thing you know, other things got cut off?
It's all over the place. Well, like one thing I've noticed is a lot of people, when they're just used to working on the machine, they don't think about it needing any kind of maintenance or care. Well, there's, like, for example, there was one, all of a sudden her application wasn't working anymore. She couldn't get to her email, and, you know, she had just had issues with it. And when I looked at it, all of a sudden it says, well, it's waiting to restart. It actually did an update overnight or what have you. Mm-hmm. And now you just have to restart. So that was a simple thing.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And because what was odd is I'm starting to see these restarts that aren't even instigated. I mean, usually, you know, you can put the time frame, like in the middle of the night, or if your machine is off, you know, it's going to wait until you're back in business. So it's a little bit of a trick trying to coordinate that. But I've noticed I've had 2 reboots now on a couple of my machines that I say no automatic reboot. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't restart by itself, but it did anyway. So now I'm starting to kind of wonder, okay, what are they doing? They have to force these things. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of precarious. And the other thing I've noticed is, like, I'll use a lot of malware bytes because, you know, it protects from ransomware. It protects from the browser, the email. It's a very good rounded system for protecting you. Well, when it comes up with a little message, it says it needs to update, or it's found something, it's quarantined, I typically take those and delete them, because sometimes it says, okay, well, I'm going to have to restart in order for this thing to be blocked. And people, they'll sit there and just leave it. It says, well, I don't know what that means. So they just let it sit. Well, it's still running in the background. You know, it's causing problems, and hopefully nothing malicious. But, you know, you really need to pay attention to those little messages at the bottom that says, you know, it's quarantined something, or it's found something and it's blocked this or that. So now at least you know, okay, you went to a particular site or you opened some email, and now the message comes back, says, okay, this is not good. You know, there's some action required. Usually it's deleting it or restarting. But those are the kind of things those are the kind of user things that are kind of a challenge.
Wow. You know, it could be as simple as restarting.
Well,
it could be as difficult as, whoops, I just didn't pay attention to my messages.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Well, that's why I have these remote tools now. Like, my core customers, I actually use a program so that I can, you know, get to their desktop, and I'll look at the screen and tell them what's going on. Because I like getting people involved so that they're, you know, they're still the owners of their machine. They should know how to drive.
Yeah. And that environment becomes a lot more familiar to them. It's a lot more,
yeah.
I get it now.
Right. It does help. And so that's what I try to do. And some people probably, you know, a little bit put out because I take time to explain stuff like that. But I think overall, it's just to make it better, a better experience for them personally.
And in time, after they kind of get over tapping their toe, going, come on, come on, come on, they have the aha moment. Oh, there we go. Mm-hmm. And then it's all time well spent. We got to take a little bit of a break. We'll be back with more Tech Talk after this 1 minute timeout.
Ernest Heat and Air says, don't let the summer heat catch you off guard. Have your air conditioner serviced or replaced with a new high-efficiency air conditioner. Call Ernest Heat and Air today at 918-335-3057 to have your AC checked. That's Ernest Heat and Air, 918-335-3057, 709 Northeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville. And remember, it's hard to stop a train.
Check their website at ErnestHeatAndAir.com.
They say the early bird gets the worm, but the early bird around here gets informed with K1 Morning News weekday mornings at 6. I'm Tom Davis. I'll have your headlines. Phil Weaver has your entertainment and your long-range forecast. Weather highlights with KOTV News on 6 meteorologist Alan Crone and sports with Evan Farbach. Wake up energized and informed. K1 Morning News weekdays 6 to 10 on K1, the one you trust.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. Charles Moll in the house, and we've been talking a little bit about phones, a little bit about ghosts in the machines.
Yeah.
Some people get so frustrated when their machines are stalling or they can't get things to quite work right. They just say, yeah, it must be haunted. No, it's not haunted.
Yeah.
There's a human thing going on there.
Yep. There's a reason behind it usually, and it may not be very evident.
Yeah.
That's why if you create more of an understanding on how your gadget works, just like right now, I'm getting familiar with this new OnePlus phone.
Yes.
And it just takes a little time. But, you know, since you're using the operating system, like when you have an iPhone, it's the Apple environment. With the Android, it's the Google environment. And you find out the stuff that works in there naturally and the stuff that does not. So you have to basically just kind of make it work for yourself because, like, for example, I've got 100 programs that I use on mine, and there's probably like, I don't know, probably maybe 50 or 75 more that I don't use, but they're still sitting in there. So I try to streamline it so that, you know, the thing works good because I've got some optimization stuff in this particular phone that really helps direct the power where it needs to go.
So oh, that, efficiency, man, that's what it's all about.
It's all that optimization's getting to be a big thing now because there's just, you know, when you're dealing with millions and millions of instructions per second, that's a lot of coordination. And then like on the computers themselves, and that's why it's moving to this cloud environment. There's just so much processing power that everything is just moving into real time. It's just like there's no delays, everything is responsive. And but, you know, the whole real-time realm itself is affecting a lot of stuff, you know, so people don't have the patience. So that's why they're constantly getting the new phones faster and faster. The network goes faster. Everything kind of keeps getting cranked up. But if you get focused on what you need to do and not get derailed, because the thing with this computing environment, you get sucked into, you know, you just get off the rails, and then all of a sudden sometimes it's hard to get back on. You know, this thing is heavier than you thought it was, so it takes a little bit of effort, you know, to get everything back to the way you were operating. And that's what a lot of people look for. They want nice familiar things so they know which button to push and kind of make that more of a natural process for them,
kind of like Charles Miller and some of his folks who were comfortable with that one cell phone. They know where everything is. They know how it works. How come everything's changing on me?
Yeah.
You know,
and it does. It constantly changes. It's like patch of the week club, you know. Every week there's something new that is going to affect you. Now, like the Windows 11 talk is now the buzz because people are wondering, okay, what is this going to entail? And it's essentially because Windows 10 was supposed to be the last operating system of its kind, because everything was going to be modules.
Yes.
You know, they're breaking it all out, so you plug in modules. Uh-huh. Well, apparently they can't get there from 10, so now 11's going to be coming out. But the good news
is... that
going
to be their bridge to that?
Looks to me like.
Yeah, okay.
You know, because basically, if you notice, everything is getting tied to the cloud now. Like, you can't hardly function if you don't have a connection to the internet.
You're right.
So it's really kind of awkward for people who... like, I work in an environment where I have to isolate. Everything is off the internet. There is no connectivity, you know, to the outside world. So I have to bring it in, and then you have to be very careful what you do bring. And if you have a private environment that's, you know, to keep it from being vulnerable, you know, kind of like the Colonial Pipeline thing.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have a little assurance there.
But it was just one user, you know, mm-hmm. that basically they got some email, and it unleashed this one thing that basically, you know, punched a hole in their network that all of a sudden took them down.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes, just one.
Oh boy.
And so, you know, monitoring your own environment is not going to be optional anymore, you know, because... the thing is, all these vendors that are, you know, the Microsoft, the Apple, the, you know, they all are competing within themselves, and the user kind of gets lost in the shuffle sometimes, because when you try to make Google products work with Microsoft products work with, you know, so now you have this integrated environment where, you know, you have to make adjustments on one side to make it work on the other side, and this compatibility thing takes on more of a focus, you know, that... you just have to know what works with what, because each generation of products now, for example, well, this won't work. You know, your operating system needs to be updated, and your phone's too old, or your computer's too old, and so you have to kind of adjust yourself for that particular generation of hardware, software, and that's why it's good to know your environment, and that's what I like to do with my IT Village, because it's, you know, there's no... with my IT Village, it's really more like a library, a virtual environment that I'm creating with all, you know, all the details about particular devices, so that you get to know them personally.
Mm.
So that's kind of my mission, is to make it easier for people to get on down the road, because, like you say, it's work environment. That you got to do what you got to do, and if you don't understand how this thing drives, you know, You're kind of behind the eight ball.
Oh boy, and big.
Yeah.
Oh man. So you're back here. You go up to the Pacific Northwest quite a bit.
Yeah.
That seems to be where it's all happening.
It's pretty active up there.
Yeah.
But right now, the wrong kind of action's going on. Like in Portland, they had over 800 shootings before June, just this year.
Yeah.
800.
Well, that's what happens when you tell the police you're not wanted.
Yeah, they got some issues there. That defund the police is not going so good.
No, it's not. Now, if folks want to get a hold of you, they're real easy to find, but you have to remember the tail end of the URL.
Yep, it's the IT Village, and it's a .one, not a .com or not a .org or not a .net.
It's O-N-E.
O-N-E.
All right, good. And of course, you've got a lot of clients right here locally, and of course, nationwide, worldwide too.
I've got some stuff going on overseas.
Oh, I thought you would be by now if you hadn't been already.
Yeah.
He's everywhere. So whenever you hear Charles talking about, you know, some issues on the internet or with your systems and stuff like that, probably because he's seen them right up close a time or two. But I want to thank you for coming in here with us today. We hope that Charles Miller gets a little bit better anyway.
Yeah, sure enough.
So to be careful what you consume, folks. It could come back to bite you, I guess. All right, till then, take care. This has been Tech Talk.